You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you, as always, by InsideThePenguins.com, a proud affiliate of the Hockey News. I'm your host, Nick Berlansky, joined, as always, by Nick Horwat. And don't look now, but the Penguins have a marquee matchup against the Washington Capitals. Have you heard this before, Horwat? Have we heard that Penguins and Capitals, a game that has a whole lot that goes into it just besides 60 minutes of hockey?
Once or twice. It's happened a couple of times here and there, I think. It's going to be one of those battles, and it's the schedule makers were cooking whenever they made the last nine or so games of the Penguins schedule, but I don't think they expected it to, you know, with still six or so games remaining, to be this important for Pittsburgh. It's going to be one of those battles where it is, you know, not just Penguins versus Capitals. It's going to be a 15 points in six games Sidney Crosby against a suddenly surging, maybe not suddenly anymore, it's been a while, but an Ovechkin who had a slow start and then now found his game. And both teams are right at that spot of second wild card spot in the East and fighting for their lives. The Penguins have risen their playoff odds out of the trenches. I mean, it bottomed out at 1.3 on Moneypuck, and it's up to, I think, 14.9 or 14.1 today. Something much better. So we'll see how it goes. But this is going to be one of those games. The entire season could be on the line, really.
Now, we don't typically preview games from a game-to-game basis simply because we think that most people do preview games. So we like to talk a little bit more in-depth about certain players, certain instances in the lineup. But today, we're going to lead off by talking and previewing tonight's game because it's the biggest game of the season, and you could just feel that from the moment the Penguins took it down to triple zeros with the 6-3 win at Prudential Center on Tuesday. You just looked ahead and said, wow, that matchup, Penguins, Capitals, Capitals right now in the final playoff spot, Penguins 3 points behind with only a couple weeks left in the season. There was a similar matchup last season, and the Penguins ended up winning that one. Now the stakes were a little bit lower, and both teams ended up missing out on the postseason, so it didn't really make as much of a difference in the end, but this one, it just feels bigger. So we'll talk about this over the next 10 or 12 or so minutes, but we're also going to talk a little bit about Riley Smith. Is it time to sit Riley Smith with his current performance? We'll discuss if the Penguins could do that, who could come in relief of Riley Smith, and how it would impact the Penguins lineup. And then we asked yesterday, you guys answered weekly Pens poll, will the Pittsburgh Penguins make the postseason this year? We asked, you answered, we'll talk about it in our final segment. But let's start with that preview of the monumental matchup. Penguins taking on the Capitals. They have new life, do the Penguins. Those wins over the Rangers and the Devils, two of the most substantial victories for the last two seasons for the Penguins, and it sets up this matchup in the nation's capital tonight. Like I mentioned off the top of the show, you know, stop me if you've heard it before, huge matchup, Penguins-Capitals. I mean, it just has been the storyline over the last two decades, Crosby versus Ovechkin. They're always intertangled. So with this matchup tonight, Horwat, what do you think is the key for the Penguins to get in a favorable position from early on against the Washington Capitals?
Truthfully, it's hard to tell because the Penguins have been to even in the New Jersey game, they've seemed down and out and then have crawled their way back with a big third period. But then there are other games where, oh, they get off to that hot start and they take a good lead into the third period and then blow it. So it's generally hard to say which direction would be proper for them to go in. The easy answer is just be the better team in the third period. And I think that's a good place to start, is just if they can, even if it's a close game, if they're losing going into the third, okay, fine. They were losing going into the third against New Jersey and scored five. There's a chance that they can flip momentum like that. So I would say the easy start for the Penguins, or at least to answer this question, is just have a good third period, have a good closing frame that they can ride into maybe two more miraculous points.
You mentioned the third period. I'm actually going to go the opposite of you. I think the key to this game for the Penguins is that hot start. For one, you're the road team. You need to, I'd say, calm down the home crowd, but there's usually a lot of Penguins fans at these games at Capital One Arena. But you are the road team in a sense, and I'm sure that it is going to be majority Capitals fans. So you have to be able to get that momentum early, because the Caps do have that home ice advantage, and in hockey, that still means something. You know, in other sports, I feel like home ice or home field advantage, home court advantage, whatever you want to call it, has kind of faded away a little bit. But in hockey, that is tried and true. And almost every single arena you go into in the National Hockey League. And also, you look at the history of this matchup just this season, the Penguins have been outscored 5-1 in the first period by the Washington Capitals. Now, going back into the second and third periods, they've outscored the Capitals 6-5, but guess what? All five of those Capitals goals in the second and third periods came in their last matchup. And that last matchup was interesting. A 6-0 loss right before the trade deadline on the night that Jake Guentzel got traded. News actually leaked out right before the game, so you had to know that the players were aware that he had been traded. Michael Bunting was finding out about it. He was healthy scratch that night for the Carolina Hurricanes. And it didn't seem like anybody on the Penguins really wanted to be there that night. Now, again, that's outside looking in, but it didn't seem like they really had the fire against a Capitals team who was starting to pick things up. So that's five of five second and third period goals. The previous two matchups, the Penguins were the better team, I think, in the majority of the game. They're going to need to be that at the early outset of this one. You can't fall behind again, especially after two emotional wins on the road on Monday and Tuesday, and one where you had to come back in the third period. You just need to put yourself on the right side of things early on and be able to play with a lead, which is when everybody plays at their best.
Yeah, obviously starting off strong is going to be important too. It's going to be crucial as well, because you got to get off to that start, and then take the crowd out of it as much as you can. Make sure they're on their heels as much as you can. So, I mean, what are we nailing down here? That the first period needs to be good, the third period needs to be good. You know what? For good measure, so does the second.
Yeah.
Play a good full 60.
How about a good 60 minutes, huh?
Yeah, which at certain points of the last couple of years really has been an issue for the Penguins. So even just having one of these answers being just playing a good full 60 is an acceptable answer to the question you threw out at the beginning of this.
Yeah, obviously the Penguins have been Jekyll and Hyde from period to period for the last two seasons. If there ever was a day to put together that full 60, that good first, second, and third, and potentially overtime if you need it, it's tonight. It's a huge matchup. The Penguins could get within 2 points of two different playoff spots with a victory tonight. That's insane. Not to mention there's four other teams that will be too, but the Penguins pulling themselves within potentially one night of a big swing, putting them into a playoff spot and sitting into a playoff spot for the first time, I believe, in the calendar year of 2024. And I think if you're looking at just pure standings points, the first time since very early in the season, it's crazy to think that they're in this position. The other key I will give you, the penalty kill has to be on point. Thankfully, that's one of the most consistent areas of the Penguins' game this entire season. But you look at the Washington Capitals' power play, historically, always very good with Alex Ovechkin there on the left point, but they have the best power play percentage since February 1st in the entire National Hockey League. All of February, all of March, and early April, they are the number one power play in the league, capitalizing on 31% of their opportunities. Alex Ovechkin, 10 goals in his last 16 games. So if there's going to be an area where you 100% need to win, it's going to be on the penalty kill. How about you don't take penalties? That's for one thing. But in games like this, Pens, Caps, there's bound to be penalties.
Oh, absolutely. There are bound to be penalties. Tom Wilson is back from his suspension, so there's going to be a little bit of chippiness to it. Erik Karlsson's been getting just called for things recently, although that those two against New York were both egregiously gray area, I think we could say. But, I mean, yeah, these two teams don't necessarily like each other, especially when it comes down to the passion and the fire that's going into both teams at this point of the season. There's certainly going to be penalties abound unless the officials are also treating it like a playoff game and are putting the whistles away. That things could go both ways. It could be one of those nights as well. You never know. Off the top of my head, this early out, I don't know the officiating crew, so that'll be a wait and see. But, regardless, don't take penalties. Play a smart game because this is a team that has notoriously been great on the power play. I think at one point in the season, though, back whenever we actually discussed the Penguins' power play, the Capitals were the one team below them somehow.
It was. It was 32nd in the league at a certain point early in the season. And also, I think through December, they were like 32nd. And now, obviously, whenever you're first in the league for 2.5 months, they're up to 17th overall.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's all it took for the Penguins. Just get good for a little bit, and suddenly we wouldn't care. I mean, we don't care already, but it's going to be an important factor of the game, and if the Penguins can even sneak a few in, or sneak at least one, who knows? It could be a game that's, you know, made or broke. That phrase doesn't sound good whenever it's not make or break. Anyway, it could be make or break just based on power on special teams.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, you can look as recently as Tuesday. If Sidney Crosby doesn't score that power play goal, do the Penguins go off and score 4 more goals in that period again? Does that spark the comeback in the same way that if they would have not scored on that power play and lost that momentum, would they have been able to come back, score 2 goals at even strength against the New Jersey Devils, and come back to beat a team that they hadn't beaten in 7 previous appearances? Probably not. Special teams, especially at this time of year, is massively important. So when you look at a Capitals team that's been clicking on all cylinders on the power play, it's been Alex Ovechkin. Dylan Strome has had a very good stretch here. It seems like every night he's scoring a big goal for the Washington Capitals, at least as somebody who hasn't watched them every single day. But it's going to be a huge game. And we remember last year, I referenced it earlier in this segment, Penguins Capitals, a huge game at PPG Paints Arena, so the venue's different. Who scored that massive game-winning goal with about 3 minutes to go or in the final 5 of the third period? Evgeny Malkin, highway robbery, steals it off of the player's stick, goes in, and just wires one under the 6 hole of the Capitals goaltender, a huge goal that felt like it was going to push the Penguins in the postseason. It didn't last year. It would certainly help the Penguins this year if they're able to pull off a comeback, or not a comeback, but if they were able to pull off a similar feat this time in Washington, D.C. But we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Riley Smith had a nice goal the last time the Penguins visited the nation's capital, but should he be in the lineup later tonight against the Caps, and should he be in the lineup as the Penguins go on and try to get back into the postseason run? We'll talk about that right after this break. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast, brought to you as always by InsideThePenguins.com. I'm Berlansky, that's Horwat. Major game on the schedule tonight for the Pittsburgh Penguins. There's one player in the lineup, though, that I've been less than enthused about pretty much the entire season. I mean, except for maybe the first 4 weeks of the season, Riley Smith has been rather disappointing, I would say, in his first year with the Pittsburgh Penguins. Hence the reason a lot of people, us included, have talked about the potential of the Penguins moving on from him after this season. But if you look at his recent performance, he's really started to fade into the background. 1 goal in his last 15 games, and I mentioned it to you off the air before we got started, Horwat. Watching that game on Tuesday against the Devils, it seemed like every time the puck touched his stick, it was immediately turned over to the Devils' possession. And again, I wasn't the only one that saw that, because he was demoted from the first line to the third line very quickly by Mike Sullivan. So the question becomes, Do you think the Penguins would actually sit Riley Smith if this continues?
At this moment, I don't even think they can, but it's a fair question. I doubt it because we saw Mike Sullivan finally pull the trigger on Jeff Carter earlier in the season, and actually what that did is wake him up a little bit, and he's had a pretty respectable year. We're not going to say great, we're not going to say outstanding, but a respectable year for a fourth-line right winger. But for Riley Smith, I just don't know. I think because not only has there... yes, Riley Smith is disappointed for most of the year, but there have been random flashes of the normal Riley Smith that everyone has been used to. There was early in the season with Evgeny Malkin whenever, you mentioned, those couple of weeks where that chemistry was unbeatable. It was Evgeny Malkin getting a ton of points with Riley Smith on his wing, Riley Smith setting up goals in a couple of games in a row. Things faded, and then he had a random spurt in the middle of the year. Things faded again, and then most recently he had that quick scoring run. I think it was only two games long, but it was a ton of fun with the third line that he's been on, with him, Lars Eller, and Valtteri Puustinen. Now, they're probably going to want to keep rolling with that just because what if it does explode again? I mean, the waiting and the waiting and the waiting, you can't keep doing that. But, I mean, as I said, though, who else are you putting in? Because at the moment, I don't think the Penguins have a forward scratch. They sent Poulin back down and Bemstrom's back in the lineup. So, unless I'm forgetting a name because I'm just not looking at the roster right now, it would have to involve someone like Poulin being recalled again.
Yeah, they sent Poulin down for Joel Blomqvist. They sent Blomqvist down yesterday. That might be based on the emergency recall rules. He might be called back up today if Tristan Jarry is still too sick to be able to back up. I would assume you don't take the net away from Alex Nedeljkovic after his performance over the last couple of games, especially in a game this massive. But you know how I would replace him personally? I would move Jesper Jarvi up with Eller and Puustinen. I think that still gives you a good chance on the third line. And I would put either Poulin or, honestly, at this point, Jonathan Gruden on the fourth line, especially if it's going to be for a game like tonight, which it's not going to be. They're not going to take him out of the lineup, even though I think there is a chance that they should. It's Gruden. Put Gruden in this matchup. He has shown that he can be physical. He has shown that he has a little bit of an offensive ability. At least he is very, very, keen on shooting the puck any chance he gets, so he's going to get opportunity, he's going to create rebounds. So I like Jonathan Gruden in this lineup right now more than I like Riley Smith, and honestly more than I like Emil Bemstrom as well. So if there was a chance, if there was, Tristan Jarry's healthy enough to back up, so Blomqvist goes back down and you have that emergency call up again, I would bring up one of Poulin or Gruden. Gruden has showed more to this point of the season. And in a game like this, while I'd like to see what Poulin brings to the table, you need to have something that you're a little bit more sure of. And Gruden in that fourth line role is a little bit more of a fit with an Emil Bemstrom, with a Jeff Carter, than a guy like Sam Poulin would be at this current stage of the game. So I would do that if that was an option. Again, is Tristan Jarry healthy enough to back up? Do they have that roster spot and that ability and availability to bring up one of Poulin or Gruden? That's the next question, but 100%, I would take him out of the lineup at this point because I don't think he's helping you offensively. Yeah, he's been all right defensively. He really hasn't killed penalties, though. So he's a 5-on-5 guy that can't score. And right now, the Penguins are in a hunt for a playoff spot. They tried to put him on the first line. That didn't work. They've tried to put him on the second line with Malkin. That has had mixed results aplenty. But right now, you look at Malkin's line, and who are you taking off of it if you're trying to put Riley Smith there to get anything out of him? You're taking off Michael Bunting, and we both know that's not a good idea. And you're taking off Rickard Rakell, who has started to finally capitalize on the opportunities that Evgeny Malkin has given him. He scores a huge goal against New Jersey. If you move him off of that line right now, when he has been such a, I don't know what word I want to use here, Horwat, but moving him would put you in a precarious position because you never know when he's just going to fade into oblivion, similar to how Riley Smith is. So it's a dilemma either way. But right now, I think Riley Smith, and I'll ask you this, I think he's the weakest link in the Penguins lineup, if not 1B, to a guy like Emil Bemstrom, especially if you're looking at the forward side of things only.
Yeah, of course. If you're only looking at the forwards, I'd say it's a pretty, I don't want to say obvious because you're right, Emil Bemstrom is there. But also, I mean, Emil Bemstrom's got, I would say, more upside when it comes to Long-term.
Yes.
Long-term, big picture things. He's younger. He's likely going to be around next year just for sake of RFA status. It's tough to say. It is tough to really negotiate and nail down, but I could see how Riley Smith would absolutely be the weakest link here. And when it comes to Bemstrom, every time he's on the ice, I keep seeing people say that, you know, he shouldn't be on the ice because of the draft pick implication. I'm sorry, I don't know what to tell you if you're bent out of shape over a draft pick 3 years from now, moving up a round or two rounds or whatever it is.
It would move up to a third round, which would feel like an overpay, but again, it's how many years away. And also, he scored 2 goals in, what, 25 games, whatever he's played with the Penguins? Is he going
to
score 4 more?
He's been scratched for most of them, to be fair. So
Is he going to score 4 more in the last 7, though? Like, I don't think so.
No, I don't get it. Whenever he scored his first one in his first game, I didn't know what to tell anyone. But moving on, I'd say I'd rather have Emil Bemstrom in than Riley Smith at this point, maybe. Just, you know, I don't see the same things you do with Riley Smith in terms of noticing those mishaps, but I mean, I believe him, absolutely.
And again, it reached a fever pitch on Tuesday. I was getting very frustrated watching him, like, man, because Eller was creating. Eller was all over the place. Like, he was on one. Something happened. He you know, somebody pissed in his Wheaties. He woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I don't know what happened to Lars Eller, but he was in a mood on Tuesday, and I kind of loved it. I kind of did. Valtteri Puustinen made a couple nice plays, but every time Riley Smith got the puck, whether it was when he was on that first line early and then demoted to the third line, every time he touched the puck, it felt like the momentum died for the Penguins. Now, again, first two periods, they played pretty pathetically all around, but it seemed like, again, like Riley Smith shouldn't be your weakest link. The guy won a Stanley Cup last year. He scored a goal in the clinching game of the Stanley Cup final last year. He has been a consistent player throughout his career. I just don't know why it hasn't worked in Pittsburgh, but with the playoffs all of a sudden a possibility again, you can't sit here and let him just float around being mediocre like that. And mediocre would be an improvement on what I've seen from him the last couple of weeks, and that's why we're having this discussion.
Yeah, it's improvements need to be made for Riley Smith. I'd say it's that time, because if you look at the Jeff Carter situation where it was, they scratched him for a couple of games, and I forget if they brought him back because of injury or what happened, but then they brought him back, and he hasn't been taken out since because he's kind of figured the role out a little bit more. He's understood the assignment, and you know, well, we still don't know what Jeff Carter's future holds, but to possibly wrap up a career, or at least to wrap up a tenure in Pittsburgh, not terrible. Again, for a fourth-line veteran player that the room loves and he's going to play his role, not terrible, not bad. And if they could do a similar thing with Riley Smith, by all means.
Yeah, and Jeff Carter's nearly put in 10 goals. How many does Riley Smith have this season? I think that's too close. Close at this point.
Definitely close. Because Smith and Raquel have both just vastly struggled this year, different points. Riley Smith has 12.
Riley Smith has 3 more goals than Jeff Carter, a guy that has played exclusively on the fourth line. He's bumped up to the third line every once in a while. And he's also played power play 2 minutes.
Oh, so is Riley Smith.
But so is Riley Smith. So again, Jeff Carter's role is you're a fourth line right winger or center, depending on who's in or out of the lineup. Win faceoffs, kill penalties, and just make an offensive play when you can. Chip in when you can. The Penguins were, at one point, I think 5-0 or 6-0 in games where Jeff Carter scored. Score the big goals. Score goals that help you win, not meaningless goals. That's what Jeff Carter's done. And I know a lot of people don't like him. I'm not saying bring him back. I'm not on the re-sign Jeff Carter train. But for the role that he's been put in this year, he's played it well. Again, is it up to his contract? No. But also, we don't blame the player for signing a contract that's put in front of him. We blame the person that put it in front of him, and that person's out of the organization. But, you know, at the end of the day here, I don't know. I need to see more from Riley Smith, and I don't think they'll take him out of the lineup, but I think there should be serious consideration if especially the Penguins continue to get wins in spite of his performance. Then I think it really needs to be something they look at, especially when you have a guy like Jonathan Gruden who played playoff-style hockey whenever he was up here, and especially when you get a guy like Anola Chari back, if you have to make the playoffs for that to happen. But I don't know. I think it's interesting that Riley Smith came to Pittsburgh and he's having a really, really rough season. And it might be just 1 year. And there's something to be said about, you know, giving a guy an opportunity to bounce back. But there's so many guys on the Penguins roster that are like that, that you can't bring them all back and hope that they all bounce back. We've already talked about Graves. I've talked about Rickard Rakell on Iceberg to go. You know, people have talked about Tristan Jarry at times, but how many of those players are you going to bring back that struggled and you're hoping they bounce back to realistically expect anything better from the group as a whole? I just don't think you can do that. So I think Riley Smith is a guy that a lot of people are pinpointing as a guy that might be on his way out. And if that's the case, and he's not giving you any juice right now, I just don't see the point in keeping him in the lineup, or at least for every single game and banging your head against a wall, especially when there's no feasible place that he belongs right now. There's no line that he fits in well right now.
You know, Jansen Harkins is traveling with the team too, right?
Oof.
Sorry.
Oof. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, I know what to say to that, but I'm just gonna keep those thoughts in my head and not spew them into a microphone. But, you know, I think I need a break after that Horwat. I think you just, you know, the mood has died down a little bit here.
I just remembered a possible option to, if you're scratching Riley Smith, if you need that replacement piece.
Please, oh Lord, give me Jonathan Gruden instead. Please, oh Lord. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. When we return, finishing it off with our weekly Pens poll. Welcome back to the Tip of the Iceberg podcast. Horwat, I got a theory for you here before we get to our weekly Pens poll. This is the week after Easter, right? And the whole story of Easter is, and I don't want to get too religious on everybody because I know everybody has different thoughts about religion, but the story is a gentleman sacrificed himself for the greater good of all people. The Pittsburgh Pirates lost their first game of the season last night in Washington, D.C., their undefeated season has come to an end. Did they fall on their sword for the betterment of the Pittsburgh Penguins? Do the Penguins win tonight because the Pittsburgh Pirates sacrificed that undefeated season to a very bad Washington Nationals team?
Who plays first tonight? Oh, is it possible that the Buccos play twice today, or am I making that one up?
No. The opportunity was if the game got canceled last night, but they played the game and they lost 5-3. They play today at 4 o'clock, though. Bucks and Pucks in D.C.
We're back.
I should have called off work. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, you should have. And the home opener's tomorrow.
Yes.
Sorry, I just looked at the Pirates' schedule. That's a theory and a half, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It's also one of those weird things where both Pittsburgh teams are in the same city. I think that's always kind of fun whenever it happens. I feel like it's really rare. So, heck of a day down in D.C. for Yinzers, I'll say that. And, like, you know, you didn't take off work today, so shame on you for 11 nights. But it's, we'll see where things go. And, I mean, they sure fell on their sword, I guess.
I guess a 5-3 loss to the Washington Nationals can still take the season series. We've been talking about the Pirates now. I think this is 3 straight podcasts.
Well, the Penguins haven't given us much to talk about until this week.
Exactly. Watch out, Smitty and Tyler. I mean, we're coming for around the 4-1-2 with all this every corner of the Pittsburgh sports scene. But, you know, you want to talk about Bob Carrington declaring for the draft? Do we want to do that next? Pitt, basketball, anybody? No, okay.
Russell Wilson might be fun. I can't wait to make fun of him all season.
There we go. All right, we've covered all the bases there. Do you have anything on the Pittsburgh Riverhounds?
Didn't they open with a bad loss? They did.
Okay, let's move on then. If they're losing, I don't know. Obviously, you know, we support, but we'll see. You know, get a PWHL team to the Penguins, or to Pittsburgh. That's what we want as well. Now we can close the chapter on everything else but Penguins, but we asked a question. You guys answered it on Twitter, at Iceberg Podcast, I should say. The question was, after back-to-back wins on either side of the Hudson River rivalry, do you believe the Penguins will make the playoffs? 52% of you said no. I don't believe the Penguins will make the playoffs. 48% believe. They believe the Penguins will get back into the postseason this season. 48% yes, 52% no. Horwat, what side of the ball do you fall down on?
I'm gonna fall on the no side. As much as I want to see the playoffs, I was saying this all last season, not down the stretch. just in general, even if you get in for a round and get ousted quickly, some sort of playoff, A, games, B, revenue is better than none.
Yep.
So I would say that I would absolutely love to see this team in the postseason, even if it is for four games. But I just don't know if it can or will happen. I mean, Money Puck gives them that low odd of whatever I read earlier, the 14.9. I think The Athletic has something similar, and I was reading from The Athletic this morning that even if the Penguins win out, I think it is, their odds are still under 50, thanks to a myriad of factors outside of their control, which is everyone else's numbers, how they can finish. But then even looking at the schedule ahead, it's... there's Washington tonight. Let's say even if they do win that, they still have Tampa on Saturday, on the road in Toronto on Monday. On Eclipse Day, by the way, the entire city of Erie is shutting down. Detroit they might be able to handle, but then against Boston, yikes. Nashville is one of the hottest teams in the NHL right now, and then you close out on the island. I mean, we talked about before just how much of a gauntlet their last nine were supposed to be. I mean, they're handling it so far, considering we said how tough the Rangers always are and then how hard it is for the Penguins to play in New Jersey. I mean, maybe they shock the world, but I just don't feasibly see it happening. But, I mean, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for these guys to pull something together, and they're at least going to make it interesting, without doubt. Mm-hmm.
I mentioned this on Tip of the Iceberg Live on Tuesday because somebody asked in the questions segment of that, which thank you to everybody that tuned in for that. I said, if I was putting my money on it, and I love my money, but if I was putting my money on it, I would say no, because while the last six games, even the game where they went up 4-0 and ended up losing in overtime to the Colorado Avalanche, even though the last six games have been very entertaining and have been what it appears to be a brand new Penguins team, to me, it doesn't outweigh the previous 68. And in the previous 68, they have been, as I've said in the past, allergic to momentum. They have the momentum right now. Can they carry it over? Can you extend this two-game heater into a three-game win streak? Because they have struggled to do that all season. And like you mentioned, that schedule is hard. Can Crosby realistically keep up what he's doing? Because 15 points in 16 games is a ridiculous run that he's on right now. Can he keep it up for another seven? Even more so, can Alex Nedeljkovic keep this up? I mean, look at the performance that he had to put out just to keep the Penguins within striking distance on Tuesday against New Jersey. If it wasn't for him being Superman in net, then the Penguins would have lost that game 6-1, 7-2. They would have went away with a whimper. But he kept them at 3-1, and that sparked the ability for them to come back. Can they all keep it up? Potentially, but again, if I'm putting my money on it, the answer to me is no. I'm putting my money on no, they're not going to make the playoffs. And also because, yeah, they're close. They're very close right now. There's four other teams there. There's a lot of variables that could go against the Penguins. And even last year, when everything went right in the last week of the season, and instead of having a gauntlet down the stretch of the season, the last week of the season, they had to face Chicago Blackhawks on home ice and the little brother Blue Jackets on the road. All they had to do was win. Just win. And they couldn't get it done last year. Again, different team, but if they couldn't do it last year, looking at the schedule, looking at the circumstance, looking at how they performed in the first 68 versus the last six, I'm still going to put my money on no. Now, am I at 100% no? I'm not. But again, if I'm putting my money on it, I'm putting my money on no.
Yeah, I just think that's the best way to do it. There's no more back-to-backs, at least. So when it comes to the goaltending decision, there will be rest in between those days. I'd say, and that's the difficult part, too, because now we are having this quote-unquote goalie controversy, this goalie situation. First of all, we don't know Jari's health yet. That's going to be factor number one. But factor number two is, if the Penguins keep winning and those and that percentage of making the playoffs keeps rising, suddenly you have to ask yourself the question, who's starting in the playoffs and how, in, as of right now, you're probably giving Nedeljkovic the bump, but you got to give Jari another shot, right? You have to see.
No.
You're done? You're just cooking it? You're done?
I mean, if Nedeljkovic goes through and gets him into the playoffs, being the starter down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking during this stretch, like, do you throw Jari back in for a game or two to kind of see where you're at? I mean,
again, it depends on where you're at. Like, if you win the next four games and everybody else loses and all of a sudden you have, like, a three-point advantage and no games in hand anywhere, throw Jari in for a game, get Ned a break. But again, that's all circumstance. But if it comes down to Nedeljkovic versus Jari in the playoffs, we saw the Steelers do it. Mason Gattis here, Kenny, you can sit, take a back seat. Like, sorry, but that's what's going to happen because you do what got you to the dance. Mm-hmm. And if the Penguins get to the dance on Ned's back, I think you got to continue to be on Ned's back. Now, fortunately, Ned has somebody spotting him, and that's one of the greatest players of all time right now in Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it. The MVP discussion is absolutely going to reemerge if this team stays close. Definitely if they make it. But for as close as they're staying, that talk's going to pick up. The next 3 weeks are going to sway a lot of voters, regardless of point count. Good old everyone over 110 going down to a guy who might barely finish with 90. I mean, he's on pace to finish with 92. Which obviously is not his best season and is not, obviously not, you know, anywhere near what these guys are putting up around the league, but carrying this carcass into into the postseason. Evgeny Malkin waking up has been kind of nice. He's gotten a few points in the back few games. And then, I mean, that goal ending situation that you just have to really take a look at. It's I still lay on to know, but just because it's tough. Even if you win out, the odds still aren't that great.
Mm-hmm. Now, I ended last episode with chaos theory. Left some people a little taste of something to just think about as they go away from the show. Today, I'll leave you with one that's a little less chaos theory. Lars Eller hasn't had a goal in a while. Lars Eller's due for a big game on the offensive side of the puck. What a perfect time to do it then. Just put a little needle in the side of your former team. I'd like to see Lars Eller score a goal, and I talk about I like my money. I'm going to put a little bit of money on an anytime goal scorer tonight for Lars Eller. So there you go. There's a little extra something at the end of the show, but that's going to do it for this episode of The Tip of the Iceberg. We hope you enjoyed this one. Big game tonight. Penguins at Capitals. Playoff lives could be at stake at Capital One Arena, but that's it for this one. We'll see you guys next time.